Brooklands Radio Surrey News Review for Friday the 26th of May. A look at the week's local news in Surrey. I'm Graham Laycock, and at the Surrey Advertiser News Desk is editor Oliver Florence to discuss this week's local news stories. And a first look at this week's headlines. A girl of 16 shaken after an attempted abduction. A barbershop manager death was accidental, and a council refuses to lower the Union Jack after the terror attack. We'll be looking at these stories and others as I'm joined by Oliver. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Graham, from the scorching Stoke Mill in Guildford.
Indeed, and it's pretty hot here in Weybridge as well at the moment. Now, a pretty worrying story to begin with then about this girl of 16 who was shaken after an attempted abduction.
Yeah, a very disturbing story, as you say it, and I thought it was probably just worth publicising for as much as possible. This happened in the Roe Town area of Addleston, at the junction of Hare Hill and Ongar Hill, back on May the 14th, actually, on a Sunday afternoon. It was around 3:30. What we know is that a 16-year-old girl was approached by a man who seemed to try to get her to go in his car, firstly just by shouting over at her, but then he actually got out of his car and started to run towards her. So it was really quite a disturbing incident. Luckily she managed to run away and into a nearby shop, but she's obviously been very shaken. We have spoken to the teenager's mother this week, who asked not to be named, and she's just told us a bit about the incident and the impact it's had on the girl. So it's just worth bearing in mind if people are in that area, just take extra care and, of course, get in touch with police if you know anything about this incident.
Yes, or if you do see anything suspicious as well. Now, a barbershop manager's death was accidental.
Yeah, very sad story, this one. We often, obviously, have to cover inquests into sad deaths from people around the county. We first covered this story back in March, when Nick Davey, who was a barbershop manager in Guildford, very popular man in the town, a lot of people knew him. He was manager of Headcase Barbers in the town. He died in a car crash on the A31 down in Alton. So this week we attended his inquest. Unfortunately, really, it failed to shed much light on what actually happened to him. Seemingly, he lost control of his vehicle for some reason. He went over the central reservation and hit an oncoming car. But the coroner was really at a loss as to quite why it happened. And he suggested we shall probably never know quite why he lost control. And obviously leading to his death. Luckily, his 2-year-old son was in the car as well, and he was uninjured. So although there might be some closure for the family from the inquest, there still are a few questions that possibly they'll never know.
Very difficult for the family indeed, isn't it, if you don't have an absolutely conclusive reason?
It is, yeah, and as I say, a lot of people in Guildford knew Mr. Davey. Back in March, we spoke to a lot of community people in the community. They reacted with quite a lot of shock and sadness. He was, they said, a much-loved son, brother and doting father, so just really terribly sad.
Now, a council's refused to lower the Union Jack after the terror attack in Manchester.
Yeah, we've obviously had lots of reaction to the big story, the terrible events in Manchester that happened on Monday evening. We've got a bit of coverage in the paper today, coverage of the minute silences that went on yesterday around the county, advice from Surrey Police, how to keep safe, with a lot of events in Surrey and in London coming up over the bank holiday weekend. But for this particular angle, there's got quite a few people concerned in Cranley. Residents have actually criticised the parish council for not lowering the flag, the union flag that was flying in the high street. A lot of other public buildings obviously have done so to remember the victims of the terrorist attack. And one resident we spoke to said she was quite ashamed that they hadn't done so. Seemingly, they haven't done so because they said they were following College of Arms flag protocol. The parish council suggested that only for events such as funerals for the royal family can they actually lower the flag. Although looking into this, it's possible that local government bodies can kind of use their discretion for national commemoration or losses. So as I say, a few people are a bit disappointed by the reaction of the council.
Yes, yes, you would have thought it would. They wanted to take the mood of the nation at this time. I think everybody was so shocked and horrified by it all that it would have been a nice gesture.
Yeah, you would have thought so. I think probably a lot of the other councils around Surrey did so. But they say they were just following protocol, and they say they're also trying to get their own Cranley flag that they possibly can have more discretion over how they fly it. So we'll see what happens with that one.
Now, it's an interesting story coming up. Council told to pay to light up the streets.
Yes, we've done a lot of stories, as I'm sure a lot of listeners will remember, about streetlights in Surrey. Since back in October it was last year, when Surrey County Council approved plans to switch off the lights at night between midnight and 5 o'clock. They thought they'd make savings of just over £200,000. We reported in the last month or so, really, that Spelthorne Borough Council in the north of the county, they've come up with a deal with Surrey County Council to pay them to turn back on the lights after residents have been quite concerned about the impact the dark streets were having on them during the night. It now turns out that they're going to discuss this on Tuesday, Surrey County Council, and they'll look to extend this policy to other councils. So other councils across Surrey will be invited to kind of pay an amount to the county council to turn the lights back on. As I say, a lot of people were quite concerned by the policy initially, so I'd imagine quite a few of these councils might be taking advantage of this new policy.
Indeed, but the money's coming in the end from you and me, isn't it, one way or another, but just coming
exactly,
out of a local pot rather than a county pot.
Yeah, someone's got to pay for it somewhere. I think Spelthorne are spending around £21,000 to try and get the lights back on. I don't think they've actually come back on yet, because there are various processes they have to go through. But as you say, the money's got to come from somewhere, whether it's the county council or the boroughs and districts.
To my mind, a £200,000 saving over the whole county doesn't seem like it's worth doing.
It doesn't seem a great deal, does it, considering the budget of Surrey County Council. We had a lot of, obviously, coverage about their finances when they wanted to hold the referendum earlier this year to raise council tax by 15%, and it would seem £200,000 is quite a small amount in the grand scheme of things.
Right, OK, now we have disbelief as a driver's pulled over for emailing and drinking at the wheel.
Yes, it does seem quite hard to believe what some people do whilst driving around, doesn't it? We do a lot of reports on bad drivers around Surrey. We often have footage on our Get Surrey website that's recorded by people with dash cams. They seem quite popular now, so there's no hiding place for bad driving, it would seem. So on Monday, we had reports that the police had stopped someone driving on the M25, and it turns out they were writing an email on their phone, which seems a bit of a stupid thing to do, particularly with all the publicity surrounding use of mobile phones whilst driving that we've had over recent months. They received a summons to appear at court. Then on Wednesday, perhaps even more unbelievably, we had someone drinking a can of beer on the A3. Pretty bad driving, really, and any chance to highlight the importance of sensible driving, we obviously take.
Indeed, I can remember the time, I think you had a video on Get Surrey a year or two ago of some commuter in their car eating a bowl of cereal that a cyclist took a picture of.
Yes, I remember that one. It's one of many bits of footage we've had over the years. I think we've got one currently of no fault of the driver, this one. A driver driving along the M25, I think it is, with a front wheel missing. So
good grief.
A scary experience for them.
Yes, indeed. I wonder if they knew about it. I suppose one of the things you can keep going for so long without falling over.
I think so, yeah. It's kind of, I think, the story's highlighting a wider point about smart motorways that the government seems very keen on introducing, doing away with the hard shoulder. And a lot of campaigners are suggesting with incidents like this, there's nowhere safe for cars to stop. So hopefully it will spark a bit of debate.
Indeed, indeed. Now, farewell to Sir Roger Moore. But did you know he launched his acting career in Surrey? I didn't know that.
Did you not? No. Obviously, we had the death of Sir Roger Moore this week. Obviously, very sad, but also a time to really celebrate his really quite magnificent career over the years. So often with the way when famous people pass away, we look to find a few local links. We delve back through the archive, and we came across this, an interview that Sir Roger did when he visited Guildford for one of his many book signings. I think this one was back in 2015. And he actually revealed to us that one of the very first films that he shot was in Guildford. He was working for the AA, doing film for them, 60 years ago or so, and it was his job to stand outside the town and direct a couple of women into the town. There's a lovely quote from him, actually. He says, 64 years later, they're probably still circling the outskirts somewhere looking for Guildford. And yeah, they're probably stuck in traffic as well, knowing the traffic we get around here. So yeah, it's lovely to look back on his career.
Indeed, indeed. And finally, we've got a sports story about football, getting Effingham signs for the Cards.
Yeah, the wrong season, I know, looking out the window on this beautiful sunshine. It seems hard to believe that football will probably be back with us sooner than we know. I know the pre-season seems to get earlier and earlier every year. But yeah, we've kind of got a round-up of what's going on at Woking. It's a couple of weeks now that manager Gary Hill left the club after 6 years. New boss Anthony Limbrick has come in, and he's already been very busy adding to the squad, releasing a few players as well. This concerns Inya Effingham, who's been signed from Barrow. He seems to be quite an exciting striker. He's got a good goal-scoring record. So hopefully when the new season comes around, he'll start putting them away from Woking and they can have a bit of a better season than they did last year.
Let's hope so. Yes, they need a bit of better fortune, don't they?
They do. It wasn't ideal. I think they just escaped relegation on the last day of the season.
So really?
Hopefully, with all this preparation, they might have a better crack at things this year.
Let's hope so. All right, Oliver, well, thank you very much for taking us through the local news of Surrey this week, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Graham.
This has been Brooklyn's Radio News Review with Graham Laycock and from the Surrey Advertiser, Oliver Florence. And you can hear the Surrey News Review every Friday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Brooklyn's Radio. It's compiled by the Surrey Advertiser, and keep up to date at getsurrey.co.uk.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.